listening to the home of cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk right here on LA Talk Radio. You're listening to Answers for the Family with Alan Cardoza. Alan Cardoza. Only on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome, I'm Alan Cardoza, and you're listening to Answers for the Family. This show was born out of a desire to help guide parents and adolescent service industry professionals alike to professional resources as they face critical moments with their children and/or clients. The show addresses issues such as locating a runaway teen, family crisis intervention, building self-esteem, dealing with addictions, and many, many more things that deal with the everyday concerns of a parent. We will also introduce you to specialized schools, programs, and people that can help you run your home and run your family in the way in which you'd like. Now, today I am glad to have with us Lynn and Corey Colwell. They are a mother-daughter team and co-authors of Celebration Green. They're creating eco-savvy holidays, celebrations, and traditions for the whole family. Corey is also the founder of the national not-for-profit initiative Green Halloween, as well as a licensed marital and family therapist and board-certified art therapist. Lynn and Corey also are writers, speakers, and consultants on living and celebrating green in today's world. And I am going to bring them up right now. Lynn, Corey, are you with us?
Yes. Corey and Lynn are here.
That is great. Well, I got to tell you, I'm looking forward to this. I've even talked to my kids about it and told them that we're going to take some notes because there's some things that we do around our house, but I'm sure there's lots of other things that we can be doing. So I think the best way is, how does one get started as far as setting up green routines and finding the green resources?
Well, we think that the most important place to start is with the three R's that a lot of people know about, right? Reduce, reuse, and recycle.
Yep.
And those are kind of the three cornerstones of being green. And then we've also added in something called the three G's, which are good for people, good for planet, good for communities.
Nice.
And what we suggest is that people start with any one of the three R's or the three G's to make it very, very simple, whether they're decorating or looking for costumes for Halloween or the food that's going to be at their upcoming party. And to pick one, for example, reduce.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I mean, everybody thinks that going green costs a lot and is hard to attain, but really the first R is reducing. So if you're going to be, let's say, decorating for Halloween, instead of decorating your entire lawn, you could just decorate the front of your door, the entryway, that mm-hmm. kind of thing. So starting with those cornerstones and moving forward is a really great way to kind of simplify and to have an order to going green.
And what's the best way to get our kids involved in this?
Well, basically you want to, first of all, have a very positive attitude. I think a lot of times when people think about going green, they somehow think that this means we're going to be taking things away. And mm-hmm. in our view, it's exactly the opposite. We've found that kids, young children as well as teenagers, are so excited if you go at this in a positive way. So what do I mean by that? Well, just for example, let's take a child's birthday. And instead of saying, okay, well, we're not going to serve any of that cake and ice cream and we're not going to, you know, give out a lot of gifts and that sort of thing, what child is going to want to get on board with that?
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
So the approach to take is, if they're already talking about green and maybe you already recycle, that's a great place to start and say, you know what, we're already doing this, but let's come up with some really fun, creative, wonderful ways to make your birthday green too. And you will be amazed how kids will get on board with that, because they understand far better than adults, really, what's at risk here. And they are creative, and they do come up with these wonderful ideas that, you know, we could not come up with ourselves. So it's being enthusiastic yourself, approaching it in a positive light, and getting them on board right from the beginning.
Well, this is certainly a big change from when I was a kid, because when I was a kid, my dad's thing in regards to green was, who left the lights on, and when I find out who did it, you're grounded, you know.
Yeah. That's so true for many of us. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure that we said the same thing with our kids. But, you know, we're living in a different time now, and everybody is becoming aware of how important it is. You know, each of us cannot change everything, but we can change some things. And we can start where we are with very simple decisions. And, of course, our focus is on holidays and celebrations and special events, and it does make a difference making those small changes.
And does it also go along with some of the bigger changes, such as going solar and things like that?
Yes, of course it does. Mm-hmm. I mean, even though our particular niche and focus and passion are the holidays and celebrations
right.
and special occasions, certainly all these things carry over into the choices that we make in our daily lives. And, for example, on 4th of July, we experimented for the first time with a solar oven. And
nice.
It was a lot of fun. We'd never done this kind of cooking before. We didn't know how it was going to work out. And it was amazing. We actually made some chopped potatoes. And they were fantastic, and we actually found out later, and this was confirmed by our own little taste test, that they actually taste different. They taste better than potatoes that would have been made on the stove or in the oven. And so certainly taking the solar cooking from our 4th of July celebration could be carried out to every day. And an
Absolutely.
Interest in solar, of course, for kids could lead to, you know, a better understanding of how we can use solar in our homes and with our you know, transportation and that kind of thing.
And when you're talking about gift giving or partying or that sort of thing, all of those things are going to tie in, whether you're concerned about water. So instead of buying bottled water, we tell people, get it from your tap.
Right.
It's the same thing in the end. And when it comes to solar, you know, what about a gift for a family of a solar oven? Or get kids together and make their own solar ovens. There are tons and tons of directions. It boggles your mind, the creativity that's already gone into this. And if you have a bunch of kids and you're trying to figure out what to do with them, you have a summer party, have each of them make their own solar oven. It's easy to do, and it costs almost nothing. And they're going to learn the lesson of, you know, how to cook solar. So
now
you can integrate these things into everything you do.
Do you have on your website, or is there anywhere they can go to learn how to do the solar oven? Because that sounds like a great idea. In fact, I'm envisioning now the solar oven out back near the barbecue for our next barbecue.
The solar oven that we used on the 4th of July is an absolutely wonderful one, and it's called a Sun Oven. And it can be purchased, and it is expensive. It's right around $300. But when you purchase one, another one is donated to women in a country where all they have is solar. You know, the forests
mm-hmm.
have all been cut down, and so they may have to walk 20 or 30 miles in order to get wood to cook with. So they're putting solar ovens into these countries and allowing women to use the resource that's there for free. So when you purchase one, not only are you doing good for your own family, but you're doing good for other people as well, which is one of the cornerstones of what we're trying to tell people.
Absolutely.
So I got a little off track there. But
that's good. But I was going to say
you can learn how to make a solar oven. We actually have not had a chance to do it yet this summer, but we're planning to get a group of kids together and do a video on making all sorts of solar ovens. But in the meantime, you can go online and just type in how to make a solar oven, and there are lots and lots of places to do that. And we also, on our blog, have a demo of what we did with this solar oven on the 4th of July, and our blog is celebrategreen.net/blog, and they can look one up there and see the video.
That sounds great, and you're right. And I love the fact that it not only teaches the kids, about just kind of doing the right thing and stuff like that. But I mean, it then becomes something that we're all doing together, which is again one
mm-hmm.
of the things that I'm trying to promote as well is that we need to be doing things with our kids. You know, it's enough of buy them something and send them somewhere, but let's do it together. So to me, the concept of making that and doing it together with the kids, I think, is very good. And also, I love the values it teaches them as well.
Mm-hmm. Alan, you're exactly right, and you're hitting on what is at the core of our passion working together, my mom and I, and that is putting the meaning into the greening. And that is, you know, looking at all of these things, whether it's your cooking or whether it's your decorating or whether it's your gift giving, and finding a way to instill togetherness and joy and laughter and fun, and really being together and honing in on what traditions are important to your family, and using these things as opportunities to be together and to create meaningful memories. And, you know, the green part can come along for the ride. But what we find is that when we focus on people over things, we don't create a lot of extra waste. We don't need a lot of extra stuff. So you're exactly right. We love that you can do these things together.
Yeah, and the way that the economy has been going, there's even more reason to start focusing in these areas. I love the fact that what you said before is that it's not something that's more expensive. It's actually something that you can save money in doing.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Absolutely. I joke that people used to call me cheap, and now they call me green. Because really, most of the things, again, if you go back to the three R's, nothing costs less than reduce, reuse, recycle.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
That's right.
So you really can make and create wonderful experiences, memorable experiences, which really, when you're talking about celebrations, the things that we remember, generally we don't remember every year what we got for Christmas or Hanukkah or whatever, or even for our birthdays. I mean, there may be one year where we really wanted something and we got that. But for the most part, we don't remember. And so what we remember are the experiences. And so that's what we want to focus on. And those experiences often cost absolutely nothing.
Great. Now, I'm one of the people that, I mean, I truly believe that establishing and maintaining family traditions is important. But how can that be done while making the holidays and celebrations more eco-friendly?
Well, the first thing that we would do, or that we would suggest, is that you and your family get together and really talk about what are the traditions that you enjoy in your family. What are the traditions that are most important to you? And then you take that tradition or those traditions, and as we brought up earlier, you apply the three R's and the three G's, and you say, where can we reduce, reuse, and recycle, or where can we make this more people-friendly, which includes healthy, more planet-friendly, or more community-friendly? So, for example, on Christmas Eve every year, our family has fondue. It's a beloved tradition that started, I believe, before I was born. Is that right, Mom?
No, it was when you were little. And when we, after her dad and I would put together the train set or the bicycle or whatever, it would be really late, and I would make this fondue, and we'd sit in front of the fire, and that became a tradition. And when the kids got old enough, they wanted to do it as well.
Mm-hmm. So, I, you know, for me, this launching of, you know, right before Christmas Day of having fondue as a family is just one of my most cherished memories and experiences as a child. So, for example, if that's a tradition that you want to keep and you want to take a look at, you can apply some earth-friendly ideas to making fondue. For example, shopping locally is actually a way of reducing, because it reduces the miles that your food, that it takes for your food to get to your plate. And you can also sometimes save money by shopping locally as well, especially if it's seasonal. So with fondue, we could look for some local wine that goes into it. We could look for some local cheeses. You know, you look for the local ingredients. And the same with bread. You could make the bread yourself as a family activity, or you could shop at your local bakery. You know, get to know your local baker and get your bread from him or her every year as part of your tradition together.
Mm-hmm.
So, you
mm-hmm.
know, it's a simple, simple tradition. And no matter what your tradition is, whether it's, you know, going somewhere and doing something together, whether it's decor, whether it's food, you can find simple ways to implement the three R's and the three G's that are meaningful to you and that will, you know, create the traditions that you're really wanting for your family while also not impacting the earth as much.
Well, I like that. Now, what are some specific things, some just very specific things that you're finding that people are contacting you on the blog, sort of some success stories where they're saying, you know, I figured out that the best thing was this. Give us some of those.
Well, one of our big issues is wrapping paper. And because we're dealing with holidays, of course, and celebrations, and people want to wrap gifts, they want them to look beautiful, but we waste tremendous amounts of paper,
right.
And particularly paper from virgin trees, or, you know, where they'll just cut down the tree and make wrapping paper from it, and that's not very earth-friendly. So we have a lot of ways that we suggest
that people, lots of alternatives for wrapping. And one of our favorites is wrapping with fabric. And whether it's bags that you make out of fabric, or whether it's I have an old dress that I really love the print of it, but the dress was stained and I didn't want to wear it anymore, so I cut the skirt and I made a square that I wrapped something with. You can use towels, you can use, depending on the size of the gift, you can wrap in a sheet or whatever you'd like. And so what happens is that people who have never heard of this or never thought of it are so excited about it. Mm-hmm. And at one point we had a woman last Christmas who made bags. She made a large bag for each of her children. She embroidered their names on it, and she put some additional designs and so forth. And then she put all of the gifts that she was giving each child into that bag and put the bag next to the Christmas tree. And her children were so excited to get their own bag. It was like Santa had left them a whole bag of toys. And they didn't miss the wrapping paper. And this is something that they can keep forever. And
exactly.
Then they can even add their children's names on them when they have children and pass it on.
Well, yeah,
we were at a green expo last week or 2 weeks ago, and we were demonstrating wrapping gifts in cloth. And we had a variety of cloth wraps that you can buy, but also a couple of my grandmother's scarves and tablecloths and that kind of thing. And when people came up, they said, oh my gosh, those are so beautifully done. And we showed people how you can wrap a gift, for example, a book or a small box, in under 30 seconds. And how you probably, if you were wrapping in paper, wouldn't have been able to find your tape and scissors by that time.
Mm-hmm.
And they're just, it's like origami for gifts. And in the back of our book, we have a whole page on how you can wrap bottles and boxes and all kinds of things. And the fact of the matter is that if there's a statistic that if every American wrapped just three gifts in something alternative to paper, that we would save 47,000 football fields worth of paper.
Wow.
So oftentimes people think, oh, well, what's this one gift? What does this, you know, one thing matter? But, of course, when we each make these independent choices, and we're all doing it, millions and millions and millions of people, it can make a really big impact for the better or for the worse, depending on what the choice is.
I think the other thing that's happening is as people begin to make these choices, they make one decision, for instance, to wrap mm-hmm. their gifts in an alternative way to paper. And once they've done that and discover how easy it is and how fun it is and that the gift will keep on giving because the fabric, for instance, will be handed from one person to the next, they say, oh, well, that wasn't too hard. I can do something else.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's where we're getting the feedback that, oh, I tried this. I didn't really want to do it, or my mother made me do it, or whatever. And, oh, well, that was fun and easy and simple, and so now I'll try something else.
Mm-hmm. And there's a few other ideas on the wrapping, of course. I like to wrap gifts in my kids' artwork. My kids use my office paper if I need to print, and they draw stuff on the back, and we've got, you know, drawerfuls of art.
Mm-hmm.
So we wrap gifts for their friends in artwork. We've used old maps. We use catalogs if they happen to flip through my do not mail me catalog thing. I mean, really any type of paper, and you can match the paper that would have gone in the trash with a gift. For example, if someone's graduating from high school and they're traveling abroad, you can wrap something in an old subway map that you happen to pick up. And the other tradition that we started doing, I would say maybe about a year ago, is not wrapping at all.
Mm-hmm.
And what we do is we hide gifts.
Mm.
And small children can play hot and cold, you know,
yep.
where the gifts are hidden and you say, getting warmer. And bigger kids and adults, you can blindfold them, which is, of course, hysterical for everybody who's watching, but it's also fun for the person. So there's really no need at all to use any wrapping. So there's a lot of choices. You know, our thing is that we don't tell people what they should do. We just give all different options, and you kind of see what works for you and your family.
Well,
go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, well, first of all, for anybody that knows me well, they call me the options guy, so I'm loving this.
good.
But you know, some of
that's
the things,
great.
I mean, when you mentioned about the bag, I love the bag with their name on it. I mean, it's essentially, it's like the giant stocking. I mean, you know, it's the giant mm-hmm. stocking with their name on it, and then they can put stuff in. And I'm a bag guy anyway. I got to the point in my life where I don't have the time, or I guess the patience, to sit and wrap everything like we once did. So buying the bags and reusing the bags, we've done that now. That's become, you know, pretty much a regular thing for us. But I love the idea of some of the towels, things like that. you know, to me, we can make it part of the gift. You know, that's part of the gift too. You know, is that, you know, if somebody gets, you know, they're getting four items and each one of them's wrapped in a new towel, you got a set of towels too. So, some great ideas.
One of the things that just on that and talking about putting the meaning in the greening is when my mother passed away, she left me literally a stack of beautiful silk scarves. I'm not a scarf-wearing gal. I just don't use them in that way. So I decided to use them to wrap gifts, particularly for my grandchildren. And what that means is when they get a gift, they get this beautiful scarf, and they know that it's from their great-grandmother. And through their grandmother, and now to them. And they can choose to play with it because kids love playing with the silks, or they can choose to keep it in their drawer and someday give it to someone, to their child. So you can create tradition in very unexpected ways. And yes, a gift within a gift, what could be better?
I agree completely. Now, I noticed that you had a lot of stuff when I checked out a little bit of what you guys are doing in regards to Halloween. When it comes to Halloween, how do you sell the kids on the idea of alternatives to the traditional candy?
Well, I'll tell you what you don't do. I'll start with that.
Okay.
What you don't do with kids is tell them, guess what, kids? We're not doing candy this year. So, so you know, we're going to be healthy. We're going to be earth friendly, and you know, that's it. We started this initiative called Green Halloween, and for your listeners who want to check out the website, it's greenhalloween.org. And in the first year, which was 2007, a few of the journalists and people who were interviewing various people about it stuck a microphone in a couple of kids' faces and said, what do you think about this new initiative that's trying to get candy away from Halloween, you know? And, of course, these kids were shocked and sad, and they found one particularly upset boy who said, oh, don't take away the candy. It's, you know, it's the best part of Halloween and this whole thing. And of course, I mean, if you say to anyone, a child, if you say to an adult, you know, going to take away your car or, you know, that kind of thing, I mean, people are going to be upset about what they're going to be losing. But if you look at it in terms of what are the alternatives, you have to show people, including kids, the alternatives. So what we've done with Green Halloween is we have these big giant boards that have all of these alternatives, and you can go to our website and you can see all the things that we suggest on there. We have them all glued, and we have asked, now it's in the tens of thousands of kids, toddlers to teens, what they would think if somebody put one of these alternatives into their pumpkin instead of candy this Halloween. And Alan, we have not met one single child of any age who said that they'd rather have conventional candy when they saw the alternatives. But they had to see it, they had to touch it, feel it, you know, experience it, instead of just saying, ah, oh, we're taking away the candy, now what?
Okay, so, and you have this on your website, so a parent can print this out and sit down with their own kids and go, hey, what do you think of this one, or what do you think of that one? And they get to, as you're saying, they get to see it, they get to read it themselves.
Exactly, and as we were, you know, saying before, that we're not telling people what they should do, we're just supplying a whole bunch of creative alternatives. So we have everything on there from polished rocks and sea glass to feathers and Play-Doh and stickers and temporary tattoos. You know, in the food, there's honey and agave sticks. There's bars like Lara bars, you know, that kind of thing. And there's also fantastic organic candy that's available. And for those people who still want to hand out candy, organic candy is a great way to go. And there are many, many companies that are selling, you know, everything from Jawbreakers to lollipops that are comparable or even less expensive than the candy that is, you know, conventionally handed out. And a lot of the organic candy actually comes in compostable, you know, corn-based wrappers. So there's something to feel good about there. But the fact of the matter is there's one really great way to make Halloween a little bit healthier and definitely more earth-friendly. And that's something that all of us can do no matter what it is that we decide to give away. Mm-hmm. And that is to give away just one. We've supersized everything now, including our holidays. And the norm is that children are collecting 10 pounds of candy at Halloween, 10 pounds. Yeah. And that's because the kids are now getting handfuls as they go door to door. And when I grew up, it was one piece at each home.
Oh, I remember.
So whether it's
I remember.
Yeah, so whether it's Snickers or Snickers,
You know, giving just one to a child, of course, is better for their health. It's better for the planet because it creates less, you know, packaging and less running around and getting things and all the shipping and everything. So reducing, again, that number one R is a really great way to instill in our kids the art of moderation and gratitude, being excited about, you know, simplicity. And, you know, what we've found is that when you put your enthusiasm behind one thing, that kids get really excited about it. For example, if you have a big bowl of a variety of things or whatever it is, it doesn't matter what it is. And you, if you were to say to kids, go ahead, take what you want in the bowl, they'd probably take a big handful and move on.
Yep.
But if you're behind the bowl and you say, here is a bowl of treasures, you can choose just one. Make sure you, you know, make your choice very carefully. One very, very special treat or treasure. You know, they'll look in the bowl and they'll really put their effort into finding that one special thing, and they'll pick it and they'll walk away with more excitement about that one thing than they could have ever been excited about an entire handful.
Well, and actually, I've got to tell you, the first thing you mentioned was to polish rocks. And I, as a room dad, when my kids were younger, I would bring polished rocks and give them out to the kids. And you can get the ones that have a different animal that's carved into each polished rock.
Well,
I ended up getting tons of those, and I would give them to each one and then have them talk about what it was. So I personally love the idea of the polished rock, but I got to tell you that as soon as you first said that, the first thought that came in my mind was, am I going to get this rock back through my window?
Well, you know, I mean, a lot of people have said that to us, and last year we ran something on our e-blast saying, you know, people say about eggs being thrown at their house, and we, after Halloween, we said, if anybody tried any of this and received an egg, you know, let us know, and then we haven't heard from anyone. In fact, we heard the opposite. We thought we might get an egg, but, you know, actually all the neighborhood kids were so excited, so we sent out a big, you know, thing saying it was a zero egg green Halloween. You know, no eggs, no rocks or windows. And of course, there's that famous Charlie Brown, you know, holiday episode of Charlie Brown who received rocks. So when we say, you know, polished rocks, people often think of Charlie Brown. But actually, my inspiration from thinking about some of these items from nature to hand out, the seashells, the feathers, the rocks, the sea glass, come from doing laundry. And what I mean by that is most parents who, if their task is laundry, they'll know that you've got to empty out your kids' pockets before you do laundry. And that's because the kids are collecting these little tidbits of things, you know, little, as I was saying, little seashells, little rocks, little feathers. And they're telling us that these are treasures to them. You know, and for us to say, oh, no, that's not good enough, you know, for a holiday, you really need this, is discounting what they're intuitively seeking. You know, kids today are deprived of touching and feeling and experiencing things from nature. So, again, when we have, you know, put these items from nature on a board and shown them to kids, I mean, the kids get so excited, Alan. You know, look at this shiny rock and look at this. And certainly, again, it's not for all kids. There may be, you know, there's tons of other options. But what we find is that when we listen to kids and we ask them what's important, what excites you, often we find that they're the very simplest of things that really don't cost much and also don't impact the earth.
And this is where, once again, it's so important to sit down with your children and get their opinion, because one child may just swoon over a rock, even a plain rock, not a fancy rock.
Yep.
You know, I
yep.
mean, all of my grandchildren loved rocks when they were little. They loved to collect rocks. So
for Finley's, my daughter's, I think it was her second birthday, she was, all she wanted was rocks. It wouldn't matter if it was a rock from your garden, a rock from the street, any kind of rock. Mm-hmm. People said, what does she want for her birthday? I said, just bring her a rock, whatever kind. She got polished rocks. She got literally just random rocks. She was the happiest kid on the planet.
Well,
the actually, interestingly enough, the number one gift or giveaway that kids love, and I don't think anybody, any adult, would guess this, and it doesn't matter whether they're 4, 14, 18, is feathers. They love feathers. And we spoke at a Halloween event, and we had a basket that was filled with feathers. And I am not kidding you. It was like they had magnets attached to them. I mean, and the kids would take 5 minutes looking through the entire thing to figure out which feather they wanted. And so I think we have to be careful as adults to keep our own biases
right.
out of, you know, what we're trying to plan with our children, because our children are not us, and we're living in a different time. And when you sit down with them and say, you know what, Daddy just lost his job, and we're not going to have any more fun anymore, how would you expect them to act? But
right.
when you say, you know what, we are going to have a birthday party this year that's going to be the most fun we have ever had, and we're not going to spend any money. Let's figure out how to do that. Then they can get excited.
Yeah, I agree. And I think when you mentioned earlier about the the basket of treasures and let them pick one and pick, you know, from that standpoint, I think that's great, because you're also empowering them to pick something that they want. So you might have the one child that wants the polished rock and the next one that wants the feather. So I mean, I think it makes great sense. Let them pick what they want, because you're right. We don't know what's going to excite them. So I think that's great. And what I'm going to do, we're going to take a moment. We've got a little commercial interruption here. We'll take a moment. We will be right back, and we will be celebrating green.
Founded over 25 years ago to meet the needs of families in crisis, West Shields specializes in resolving adolescent issues that negatively impact the family. From preteen to young adult, we are experienced and qualified to help. We offer solutions which include referrals to a network of top professionals internationally that we work very closely with in the fields of educational consulting, psychology, and psychiatry. Our in-home crisis intervention care program helps to stabilize families and bring effective resolution. We are supported by our licensed investigation company that enables us to offer legal and expert services for locating runaway teens and more. Our therapeutic transportation services help to ensure that adolescents in crisis are safely provided transportation to specialized schools and programs with unmatched experience and success. Simply put, West Shield Adolescent Services is the best solution when your family is facing personal crisis. Call 1-800-899-8585 and let us help you.
All right, we're back. You know, while we were talking earlier, one of the things that I thought of was a saying, and I just got it out of my paperwork. And it says, "We must do something." The quote, "We must do something," will always solve more problems than something must be done. I mean, this is a subject that you guys are talking about that is something that we all must do. So it's not the type of thing, and you get, you know, sometimes bureaucrats that sit back and they say, you know, something must be done. Well, what I like is you guys are saying we must do something, and here's some things we can do. So I just want you to know, I mean, I appreciate what you're doing, and I love the fact that you are doing it, and you're showing other people how to do something that we really need to do, you know, not only as a society, but as a planet.
Well, thank you. And I think really one of the reasons that we started doing this was because we realized that most people think when it comes to celebrating, hey, it's my birthday, let me do what I want. Or it's Halloween, let the kids eat as much candy as they want. And that would all be fine if it were once a year. But we don't realize how much we celebrate in this country. And when you take all the big holidays that, you know, Christmas, Halloween, Thanksgiving, Valentine's Day, Mother's Day, and those are just a few, and then you add the ethnic holidays in there, and then you add all the special events like weddings and birthdays and anniversaries and family reunions and office parties, and we are a celebrating nation.
Absolutely.
I mean, we are celebrating all the time. And so that's why this is important. If it were just me doing it, and I just threw an incredible, you know, birthday for myself once a year, that would be fine. But there are millions of us doing this, and we're celebrating dozens of times a year. And that's why it's so important to remember that, you know, you can make a difference and just start small with one or two things each event.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well,
and we're really hoping that people will see how practical and easy to do and affordable it is. But, of course, the bonus that we were talking about earlier that I think a lot of people don't think about when going green is that they can find the whole thing to be a lot more rewarding, that their family really comes together around this experience.
And so we really hope that people will be inspired to kind of start with what works for their family and to start with one thing and to grow it, you know, each holiday or celebration.
Mm-hmm. Well, I let's take, for example, I've got a barbecue coming up, probably going to have 50 people, backyard barbecue. In fact, there's going to be we're going to have a master chef that'll be doing the cooking. So I know that we're not going to try to change the way that part happens. But some of the rest of the stuff, I mean, you know, everything from, you know, the way that we deal with the paper plates or the plastic cups, or what are some of the things that we can do if we know we've got a barbecue coming up in, you know, in 3 weeks?
Well, there's a few things that you can do that are really simple and a great place to start. And by the way, I hope we can come to your barbecue.
Yeah,
it sounds like a
lot
of fun.
Absolutely. It's in Huntington Beach, okay?
Really?
August 22nd.
Okay. All right. We'll grab our surfboards and we'll be there.
There you go.
So the first place that I think would pop into probably both our minds is to start with the tableware and the, you know, utensils and that kind of thing. And a lot of people with their barbecues, you know, go to Costco, grab the big thing of plates and knives and forks and napkins.
Bingo.
And, you know, use that.
Yep,
that's
me.
And the issue, of course, is that most of the disposable ware that's available comes from raw sources.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just, you know, brand new tree gets turned into a plate that you use for 5 seconds and toss into the trash. The good thing about living today, amongst a whole bunch of other things, is that there are so many options available, and that the more options that are becoming available, they're actually getting more and more affordable. So what I would suggest for people who absolutely have to have disposable, you know, they're like, I'm going to do disposable, I'm not doing real, you know, dinnerware, would be to choose one of these options. The first is 100% post-consumer waste paper products. That means that the paper doesn't come from raw new sources. It's waste that would be trash, essentially. And they can turn this into plates and napkins and that kind of thing. And they're very sturdy. You know, a lot of people think, oh, maybe the quality is bad. So that's one thing you can look for. You just look on the package for 100% PCW, it will say.
100%
another
PCW.
Option.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yep. And then another option, there are fantastic tableware products that are actually not made from trees at all. So one of the most popular of these types of tree-free items is it's basically made out of sugar cane. And it's actually made out of a byproduct of the sugar making process. So again, it's made from waste, it's made from a natural material, and that doesn't use any trees.
Well, if it's made from sugar, can you eat your plate when you're done?
Yeah, you could. It wouldn't taste so good.
Oh, okay.
but it certainly, it might be a little, I don't know, it might be some fiber for you. I'm not sure. I'll check into that and let you know.
There you go.
Then of course, when it comes to forks and knives and whatnot, most of those are typically made from plastic, which,
correct,
of course, is petroleum-based, right, which,
mm-hmm,
is not sustainable. It can take 500 to 1,000 years, by some estimates, even more by others, to degrade in a landfill. And actually, as a side note, plastic never actually biodegrades. It photodegrades, which means that it breaks down into tinier and tinier and tinier pieces and enters until it enters the food chain and kind of reenters us again. So that fork that you're using at your barbecue that helps you, you know, scoop your food into your mouth for a short period of time will eventually end back up into the fish and the birds and that kind of thing. So we really want to stay away from plastic utensils and plastic as much as possible. So the alternative to that is corn-based plastics, which a lot of your listeners who know about this topic, you know, it's not 100%. There are definitely challenges to using these bioplastics, mm-hmm, but for right now, we think it's a pretty good option. So now you can take all this stuff. Let's say you get the corn-based forks and knives, and you get the sugar-based plates, and you can actually compost them instead of putting them into your trash can. So it's another benefit that can help to create a zero-waste barbecue.
Okay, how do we know if we're getting these corn-based knives and forks?
How do you know? What would you look for?
Yeah, what do we look for in the packaging?
I'm sorry, can you say that again, Alan?
I said, what do we look for on the packaging?
Uh-huh. They will either say it'll either say 100% bioplastic, or it will say made from corn in real big letters. Usually the companies that are making these types of products really want you to know about it. So you look for bioplastics or made from corn or made from sugar or, you know, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. It should be fairly easy to tell, but the bioplastics is a key word there. And then you can also look for the word compostable. Now, what compostable really means is that if you put it into your compost bin, or, you know, here in Seattle, we have curbside composting, that kind of thing. But if you don't have a compost bin or you don't have curbside composting, you can shred up your paper products, just rip them up, mm-hmm. and you can, you know, bury them a little bit. Or one fun thing that you could do for your upcoming barbecue, I don't know if you have the time or desires, you can actually get a worm compost bin. And your guests can shred up their plates and put them on top, and the worms will do their thing and leave you with some wonderful compost for your garden. So I'm hearing that a lot of people are actually starting to use those, and that it's kind of a fun little quirky thing that you can have at your you know, backyard barbecue, or just a regular compost bin.
I'm trying to picture this, and there's what, like a barrel of worms that you're just throwing it in, and you're actually seeing the paper products get absorbed.
Yeah, you wouldn't see them.
Oh.
Worms, they don't work that fast.
Yeah.
And worm bins are great for kids. Love worm bins. I mean, that, you know them. They like anything that's a little bit out there. Your guests may or may not appreciate this, but you normally wouldn't even see the worms. The worms are usually buried under newspaper or whatever's already in there, and they're eating from the bottom up, so you probably wouldn't even see the worms. It would just be like depositing this in any other, you know, compost or bin or whatever. So there are bins. You can make a bin pretty simply, get the directions online, or you can purchase them.
In terms of the disposables and that kind of thing, you know, what we really advocate, if people are willing to give it a try, and if you're willing to give it a try for this barbecue, is not to use disposables at all and to really find a way to use reusables. And whether that's, you say, this year, instead of using a disposable tablecloth, I'm going to find one that I can reuse. Or one thing that we like to suggest is you ask your guests to actually bring their own place setting. And sometimes people say, no, we're not, you know, I'm not having my guests do that. But if you think of a way to put meaning into it, such as by asking your guests to bring a story along with this place setting, you know, was it a gift for their wedding? Was it handed down from their grandmother? You know, we can start to tell stories and learn about each other through a simple thing like bringing a place setting that isn't going to go into the trash can.
This is especially a great idea if you have, say, 6 tables set up and the people don't necessarily know each other that well.
Mm-hmm.
It's a wonderful way to start, and they really get to know each other. And one of the things that I suggest that people do is they think back to when they're going to have an event, think back to what do you think people did before we had paper plates? You know, before we had bottled water, before we had plastic utensils, what did people do? They had wonderful picnics and barbecues, and we have pictures of my husband's grandfather all dressed up in a suit and tie on a picnic, and they had a big picnic basket. What were they using? They were not using paper plates, right?
I think they brought their own pie tins.
Yeah. So a simple way to think about it is, what did we do and what can we take from the past? Not that we want to go backwards, but what can we take from the past and apply it to today and make it fun and interesting and make it something that people are going to want to do and participate in? And this is a great, believe me, this is a wonderful way to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, actually, yeah, you bring up a good point. And when it made me think of what we did before, I did think of the pie tins. And is that a good alternative? I mean, it's metal. On the one hand, I mean, it's not going to be thrown away. But on the other hand, I mean, it's not breakable. And if you have something that's in a backyard with a pool, you'd probably have to worry about people having glass or or mm-hmm. ceramic ware. So is maybe a bunch of pie tins, but yeah, I mean the like the Marie Callender ones, the good ones.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I absolutely. That's not something that we'd thought of, but that might be a really good solution, especially if you can reuse it later. The one thing is I don't know if they're aluminum. You might want to stay away from, from aluminum. I don't know what they're. I'm not actually too familiar with the materials that they're made from, mm-hmm. and only because aluminum has been found to leach into foods, and there's some health. Concerns about that.
Good to know.
But for a barbecue, it might be a good option. But there's actually a really fantastic option if you're going to buy pie tins that might be a better solution. And that is there's a company called Preserve, and Preserve makes everything you could possibly need for your picnic, all the kind of the cups, the plates, the forks, and the knives, and that kind of thing. And they are made out of 100% recycled yogurt cups.
Mm.
And the Preserveware, so the product itself is green because it's taking something, and using something that's recycled. But they themselves can also be reused over and over and over again. They're very colorful. They come in a whole, array of different colors to match your party theme. They're, you can't break them. They're like, very thick, sturdy plastic tableware. They can be reused over and over again. They're very lightweight. So that's a great option. Certainly, if you were to invest in something like that you reused for your annual barbecue year after year, you'd recoup what you would have spent on the disposable stuff.
Okay. Now, is that information on your website, or is it a site called preserve.com? Or
mm-hmm. You can go to preserve.com. We actually talk a lot about Preserve. So what we could do after we're done today is we could, create a blog entry and enter some of this information for your listeners.
That would be
great. It might take us a day or two, but if they come to our blog, celebrategreen.net/blog, we can put together some information for them. But we're big fans of Preserve, and we definitely talk about them in a lot of our articles.
Well, I think that's great. I think you may have just come up with the best idea for me. I mean, and obviously for a lot of other people, is that you do have, the backyard thing, and you do have, a lot of people have pools or things to where you'd worry about something that breaks. So if they have
sure,
this,
absolutely.
I mean, this sounds like it's the best of both worlds. So mm-hmm. I like that. So.
Yeah, it's a great option. And Preserve products are available in a lot of places now. I've seen them in, typical kind of mainstream grocery stores. You can also find them at Whole Foods and co-ops and that kind of thing. But I have seen them available in just, regular stores. So you don't necessarily have to buy them online and have them shipped to you.
Well, and I know that we talked a little bit about gift giving, but and as far as how you wrap them and stuff, are there really good alternatives as far as great green gifts? I mean, what would be some great green gifts that people could give that sort of maybe help stimulate the rest of the family to head in that direction?
Well, again, Corey said it earlier, we are living in an incredible time, and one of the great things is that people are really starting to create green gifts and gifts that have different aspects. It's not that they're, 100% we can say every single aspect of this is green, but one of the aspects that we think is important is things that are handmade, that mm-hmm. may be made from other objects, repurposed objects, that kind of thing. And one of our favorite sites for that online is called Etsy, ETSY.com. It's all handmade items, and they're so creative. And if you look up green Etsy, then that will take you to items that are made either from other items, or they are they come from people who are making them in countries using things that are natural to that particular region. So Etsy has gifts for babies on through people my age, which is really, really old. So that's a great resource.
And another thing that we really encourage people to think about before they get online or shop someplace else is to think about what gifts they have to give. I mean, oftentimes we think, oh, I don't have anything that I could, give somebody or make somebody. But really, most of us have something that would be of value to somebody else. Even if it's, mowing their lawn or helping to get the moss off their roof or babysitting or cooking.
Last Christmas, our son-in-law, who happens to be Corey's husband, for our Christmas gift, offered to re-caulk our shower. And I have to tell you, that was one of the best gifts anyone's ever given us.
Well, and I like that, too.
Yeah, there's a study out there that says that most people don't get gifts that they would buy themselves. Mm-hmm. And I think that part of that comes from the
fact they would want
themselves. That they would want for themselves.
Right.
And so what ends up with these gifts, right? And think of all the resources and the running around and the wrapping that goes to giving people gifts that they don't even want. And so they get tossed or they get, you know, shelved somewhere. And so it might seem a little, anti what we're used to. But ask people, you know, by asking them, is there anything that I can do for you? Or is there anything that you want in, you know, particular? We really feel that it is okay to ask. And if you don't want to ask them, you know, ask the other people in their family or at the, you know, that you work with or whoever the gift is going to.
Well,
so we can really kind of hone in on giving people, if we can, what would be meaningful and valuable to them. But certainly we've heard from people who had never thought to do this before but have now, you know, written a poem or made a meal a week for, you know, somebody or, you know, hand-knit a scarf or did something that was a gift of themselves.
Well, I agree completely. In fact, I'm a big believer in the coupons of the things that a particular mm-hmm. person loves or wants. So I think that's a great idea. Unfortunately, we are out of time. I looked up and couldn't believe it. Anyway, Lynn, Corey, thank you so much for coming on. And I will be going to your blog, as I suggest everybody else does. If you're out there and you're driving and you didn't get that information, you can go to our website, answers4thefamily.com, with any questions or thoughts, and we will pass them on to Lynn and Corey. Again, Lynn, Corey, thank you so much.
Thank you. Thanks, Alan. Have a great time at your barbecue.
Thanks. Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye.
Listening to Answers for the Family with Alan Cardoza.
Alan Cardoza.
Only on LA Talk Radio.